بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, In the Light of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. Dear viewers, we hope that you will continue to send in your questions for us to share your ideas with the other viewers, to answer your questions, make some kind of explanations for issues which trouble you, which are unclear, and we hope that everybody benefits from them. You can reach us at P.O. Box 111 Sharjah, that's S-H-A-R-J-A-H, UAE. Write it to the program, In the Light of Islam. Mention my name, Bilal Phillips. You may also email me through my website, bilalphillips.com, or you may send an email to fld3@hotmail.com, or you may fax your question in to my office in Sharjah, 9716 or 06, if you're here locally. The number then is 5323724, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. Anyway, we're carrying on with that long list of questions from the Oxford School. These are from questions from the girls concerning hijab and covering. They mentioned three questions, basically. There are many girls and women who don't cover themselves properly, according to the Islamic way. If they are doing this knowingly, what would their punishment be? That was one question. The other question, students should be encouraged to wear hijab. How can the teachers help them when they themselves do not cover properly? Third question, can parents force a girl to wear hijab if she doesn't want to, or authorities in the school? Okay. These questions concerning hijab, of course, we recognize that this is an obligation, specifically when a girl reaches the age of puberty, she is obliged to cover herself correctly. Everything should be covered except for her face and hands. This is a basic Islamic requirement of dress. And puberty is the cutoff point where it becomes obligatory. She is in sin if she doesn't do so. She will be punished in the next life, as the Prophet ﷺ describing some of the people in hell, described, you know, women who were dressed yet undressed. They did not cover themselves properly in this life. There is punishment for them. What we are saying here is that the obligation of covering is something which every Muslim should know. If they don't know, then they need to know about their religion and realize that it is something which is obligatory on them. To not do so is sinful. Now, the question which comes, and we talked about in the previous program about the reason for the covering of women, this is for their protection, for them to be known in the society as virtuous women, etc. This is, you know, among the reasons, but mainly it is for their protection, protecting them from harm. Now, as I said, the cutoff point is puberty. However, the child should be taught that from the time they are quite young. Prophet Muhammad had said, teach your children salah when they're seven. Allimu awladakum as-salah bi-sab'a. Teach your children salah when the time they reach seven. Wadribuhum alayha bi-ashr. And spank them for it by the time they reach 10 and separate them in their beds. Now, one, we say that they should be taught salah at seven. This doesn't mean that you merely teach them the movements, like you train a monkey or a dog, some animal, you know, to just go through certain movements. No. This means that, yes, you teach them the movements, but you also teach them what is said, what it means, that they understand it, that it has meaning to them, what they're doing. They know what they're saying, they know what they're doing. And you also teach them the conditions around it, that they should have wudu, They should cover their aura, all these different things. So they should be taught all the things necessary for them to be able to pray by the time they're seven. By the time they're seven. Doesn't mean you don't start earlier. You can start earlier if the child, from the time they're five, etc., four or five, they can grasp these things. And they will want to join you in the prayers and these kind of things anyway. So, when we're dealing with girls, the point is that the idea of covering up should be taught to them from the time they're young. It is very sad to see in different parts of the Muslim world parents allowing their daughters. Yes, the daughter may only be 7 or only 10 or 6 or whatever, wearing clothing which is forbidden in Islam for women. Forbidden for women. But these are only children. So you have the little girls wearing skin-tight leotards, exposing all of their private parts, and they're going outside. But they're only kids, it's only... This is wrong. If we raise our children without a consciousness of hijab, of aura, of covering the private parts, then when the time comes for you to have them cover when they're older, it's going to be very difficult. And they're the ones who are going to be asking these questions. Can people force us? Why do we have to wear it? What is this? What is that? You know, because they were not taught from their young. But if the child is raised from the time they're 3, 4, 5, they're raised given a sense of their body being covered, not exposing it to others, etc., etc., then they will have a shyness and it will be very easy for them to maintain their hijab. It will be something with them for life. We have to know and realize that Western culture seeks to destroy this shyness, unfortunately, because nakedness is considered a virtue in that culture, where people go to the beaches, they appear on television, you know, models, etc., wearing the skimpiest of clothes, virtually naked. You have topless bars, topless and bottomless bars, place where people, women dance stark naked, etc., in front of people, etc., and men also. This is considered a virtue, something admirable, entertainment, or whatever name has been put on it. So there's a different outlook that culture pays, praises, and adores nakedness. Islam dislikes it because of the harm that comes from it. Now there's a place within a man and his wife in their home, in their privacy, whatever. That's another situation. You have to take a shower, you know. There are places and circumstances. But in public, no. So the child should be taught an awareness of her body from the time she is very young, covering herself, making sure she covers the different parts of her body, etc. And where the society is careful about this, then the incidences of pedophilia, where adults may abuse young children, will be less, no doubt. Because where you have little children, you know, who though they're little, they're still bodies, and their bodies are exposed, then people who have, you know, weaknesses, things come in their hearts, whatever, shaitan, whatever, you know, different forces come to them, and in their time of weakness, they end up, you know, abusing children because of this. So we must be careful. This is very, very important. So a child then who is raised in this way from the time they're quite young, from the time they're 7, it's already established. They know hijab, they're covering. Then there's no problem. These don't become issues in school. You don't have teachers who are not wearing hijab properly or wearing it at all. And at the same time, students are required to wear hijab. You see, this is a contradiction, of course. How do you oblige the children, the students, to wear hijab when the teachers are not doing it? Or they're not doing it properly? Of course, administrations of schools that have Islamic ethos, that have committed themselves to following Islamic principles, should ensure that all of the teachers comply with Islamic rules of dress. That's very important because really, children do learn by example. When you say, do as I say, not as I do, this doesn't work. Yes, you may force a person to do what you say on the spot, but they're still watching what you do, and that will affect them much more than what you say. So where the school or parents insist that the children cover themselves and then they come to school and teachers are exposed, they're going to observe that. That's going to go into their heads. They're going to feel that this is not really something obligatory. Why are my parents insisting? Why is the school insisting? Well, can others force a girl to wear hijab? Can the parents, can the school force a girl to wear hijab? Yes. Prophet Muhammad said, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyir biyadihi." Whoever among you sees an evil should change it with his hand. If you're in a position of authority, then it is obligatory on you to correct evil. Obligatory on you to insist that the laws of Islam be implemented. So, the administration of the school, it is an obligation on them, if they have committed themselves to the principles of Islam, to insist that all of the girls cover themselves properly, wear hijab. And yes, it's the obligation of parents to ensure that their children wear it, force them to, spank them for it if necessary, make sure they wear it. But as I said, if they're taught it from their very young, they're raised with that consciousness of their bodies, etc., then it will be very easy. But where we become lax and negligent and fooled by the idea that they're only kids, they can wear anything, all these things that we know we would never dare wear ourselves as adults, we're letting the children wear these things, then it is no surprise when they grow up that they don't want to wear this. They may wear it for a while because you oblige them. As soon as they reach a point where they can rebel, then you find them rebelling, taking it off when they go leave the house or whatever. That is the consequence. But yes, parents can oblige their children. They should. It's their duty to oblige them. And they will be asked by Allah if they don't. Yes, the children carry the sin of not doing so, if they have reached puberty, etc. But the parents carry the sin for having not trained them in such a way and in not obliging them to do so. So, we can say that these questions, I think, concerning hijab have been covered. There's another question here from the girls, in which they asked about cutting hair. Can women cut their hair short? Yes, women can cut their hair short as long as they do not cut it looking like men. This is the principle. The idea, I know it's a part of Indo-Pakistani culture, that women cannot cut their hair, period. They must let their hair grow. It's considered to be something taboo. You cannot cut. Women don't cut their hair. No, this is not true. Islam does not say a woman cannot cut her hair. However, it does forbid her from shaving her head, I mean, unless there is a medical necessity, and for her to cut her hair in such a way that she looks like a man, then this is also forbidden, because Prophet Muhammad had said that Allah curses the mannish women and the womanish men. A man who carries on like a woman in his attitude, his habits, his speech, his dress, etc., is cursed by Allah. And a woman who is mannish, who wears men's clothing, has mannish kind of attitudes and these kind of things, you know, where that is where she displays things which are typically that of men, she's doing it deliberately, then she is cursed by Allah. So it's not permissible for a woman or a man to wear their hair in such a way that they look like the opposite sex. Now, cutting short, as I said, should also not include the blind following of Western fashions. That is, we cut it and we put it in these the latest hairstyles that come out of the West. Movie star you know, she is movie actress, she's the most popular actress, and she does her hair this way, so we find we're doing our hair that way. You know, Princess Diana, everybody was looking like Princess Diana when she was in her heyday, you know, so on and so forth. That way of dressing and doing one's hair in this way, like this, this is of course something despised by Islam. That a person becomes a slave to fashion, and especially fashion of the Western culture, the un-Islamic culture, culture which has a whole different set of values and calls to a whole different set of principles and morals, etc., etc. You know, as a Muslim, we should not identify with that culture in its external expressions. The good that is in the culture, its technology, its, you know, whatever good there is there, yes, one may identify and take it, benefit. But the external expressions of that culture, in terms of the way they dress, the way they eat, the way they, you know, carry themselves, and then we should avoid those things, because you'll find in many cases, if not all cases, that there are excesses there. Where they don't have the guidelines of revelation, then people go to excess. So we must beware. Another question: is it haram for a woman to beautify herself when Allah said that He's given us a nice face, and shouldn't we beautify it? Beautifying oneself. Yes, Islam permits beautification. A woman beautifies herself, you know, for her husband, etc. Of course, she's careful where she goes out in public. She's going to be in the presence of men who are marriageable. You know, that she does not, you know, beautify herself in such a way that she's drawing attention to herself. You know, putting on lipstick and eyeliner and eye coloring and all these other kind of things, you know, to attract and draw attention to herself. She's saying, look at me. No, she shouldn't do that. She covers herself from head to toe to decrease the desire for people to want to look at her in that sense. Look at her in a sense of attraction to her, physical attraction, which can bring with it negative consequences. But seeing her, dealing with her as another fellow member of the society, no harm, that's fine. So this beautification type acts, etc., should be done, you know, in privacy, in circumstances where a woman is not going to suffer harm for it. So she does it for her husband, she's staying at home, she's looking after the home, her husband comes home, she beautifies herself for him, this is something recommended. She's in front of her parents, she goes to visit her, you know, immediate relatives who she cannot marry. So she beautifies herself in this way, it is perfectly okay. But we must maintain the guidelines which Allah has set. Because if a person is going to beautify themselves by plucking their eyebrows, because this is beautification, you know, we want eyebrows too thick, we want it very thin, pencil thin, so we pluck out all the hairs, we say no, this is haram. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that Allah curses the woman who plucks the hairs from the eyes and the one who has it plucked. Similarly, spacing of teeth. People go to orthodontists, etc., and have braces put on to close spaces, increase spaces, and, you know, make themselves have perfect sets of teeth. This is forbidden in Islam also. If one has a overbite where one is not chewing properly, you need to correct that. They do it for that purpose, fine. But for cosmetic purposes, because you just want a particular look, you shift around your teeth, this is forbidden in Islam. So beautification does have its limits. It's not just an open door, you can do anything. Tattooing, also forbidden. To put tattoo marks, some people in some cultures in North Africa, the women put these dots on their chins, you know, from their lips, or some of them dot, you know, do tattooing on their lips, etc. This is not permissible in Islam. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of our program. We hope to hear from you. Remember, my website is bilalphillips.com. That's the simplest way to get to me, get your questions in, and we hope to see you in the coming episodes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.